This is future Aaron Robertson once again coming back here. And today we are going to be recapping episode 2 with myself, Keaton, Lily, and eventually Monroe. We'll be joined by the eliminated team for most of this episode and talk through our thoughts throughout the whole thing. So that's going to be an exciting time. Can't wait. We also wanted to have Harrison here since he left at the beginning of this episode, but he was unable to be here today, so we'll be pushing his interview to a later episode as well. So without further ado, here is Karma Recap for episode 2. And cue didgeridoo noise again. Welcome to the Karma Recaps show, where today we're going to be talking about episode 2. My name is Aaron Robertson. May have heard my voice on Robert's podcast before for wand offs and stuff. And now I'm here talking instead of singing. So, cause I'm very excited about Karma and this show. So as always with me, I have the wonderful Lily, who worked on Karma and was on Endurance High Sierras. How are you, Lily?
I'm doing great, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I love your Karma shirt.
Thank you. Got to rep my yellow Endurance shirt behind me.
And also, as always, we have Keaton here from season 2 of Endurance.
Yep. Happy to be here. And I got my green Endurance shirt here because always repping that green team. What?
I'm wearing green today.
And I'm wearing green too.
Yes.
Actually, I love it. Yeah, you know what? Green looks good on everyone, guys. We should all just be the green team supporters.
It should, yeah. Yeah, just so a great color choices.
Episode 2. You know, a lot happened. We see a lot of people targeting green team, possibly because of the partner selection in the episode before.
Yeah. And speaking of green team, I am so excited because, and we'll be hearing from both of them throughout this, but at least right now we have Skyly from the green team. So yay! Welcome, Skyly.
Yay!
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Skyly.
Hi, guys.
How are you? Good to see you. It's been like a year.
Literally.
Yes, repping your green Karma shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I must say, your voice is amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Really, yeah. Yes, it was awesome.
Were you happy to see that part of the scene in the show?
I was kind of shocked they put it in there, but I was like, oh, okay, like, cool. Yeah.
Was that an original song that you were singing?
My dad actually wrote that one, so it's his original song, but he lets me borrow it sometimes.
I'm telling you, Skyly, sometimes I'm trying to fall asleep at night and all of a sudden, oh, the background comes in my head. I love it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
So what was it like? Sorry, you can go.
Go, Lily, go.
I was going to say, what was it like for you to watch back the show? I mean, it's been almost a year since. What was it like for you to see it all again?
It was insane, for one, like to be able to be to have the opportunity to be on the show is insane. So for one, I'm on HBO Max, like, are you kidding me? And then, of course, it made me just miss everyone even more than I already do. And I like almost cried watching it. Like, it was terrible. But it's so good. It's so good. And like, I've watched it a million times and I'll probably watch it after this. So
so we've already like talked about episode 1 kind of leading into like the partner selection and choice, and how much were you involved with Mac on those decisions?
Not enough. Because I feel like if I was to go back and do it again, I would definitely be like, Mac, I need to talk to you one-on-one, because you can see while watching the show that it's me and Skyla in there talking to him. That was the only time I talked to Mac up until he picked the team. And so me looking back, I'm thinking I should have went up to Mac and been like, bro, you have to give people who they want. Of course, there's going to be a couple people who are unhappy here and there, but at least it's not every single person out there. And so I definitely would have changed that strategy a bit and went up Mac and been like, yo, let's be nice and pick good teams, because if not, we're going to have an even bigger target on our back because people are unhappy with us. Because I knew whoever won the challenge, the fit to pick challenge, would have a huge target on their back and automatically be like one of the ones who people want to send to the cave. So yeah, it was a pickle for me.
How long was that period that you had to discuss partners before Mac had to pick?
So I remember after, like directly after the challenge, we went and ate lunch, and it was like a 2 hour silent lunch. Because like we weren't allowed to talk, because people would talk game, because that's just how people are. You can't, you know, it's just like,
gotta lock it down.
Yeah, it's very hard. And so it definitely was. So we had the 2 hour silent lunch. And then after that, we went back and then they brought Mac in, because Mac had to sit where, not where other people were. That way we couldn't spill anything to each other. And so he came, and then we did the, you know, team deliberation. That took probably an hour. It was a long time ago. It's hard to remember, but I would say probably an hour. And then Michelle came in and was like, okay, Mac, you ready? And that was that.
So did you, were you, was there any doubt that Mac would pick you? Like, were you not consulting with him because you thought, oh, maybe he won't pick me anyway?
No, I pretty much knew if you're up there and you're going to say, give me Skyly, then you're most likely going to follow through with that. Of course, and I feel like that's just Mac's personality to like say something and mean it. And so I had a good idea that he was going to pick me. And when I went in there, I said, okay, look, I know you want to pick me, but like if you do change your mind. So I did give him like my other choices just in case he didn't actually want me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, who were your other choices?
I think I said like three guys. I think I said Huck, and then I think I said, which is obvious, 6'4" giant, looks very athletic, you know. And then I said Eli because he's very athletic and also he's very easy to talk to. Me and him are really good friends. And then I think I said Luke. Because me and Luke were pretty close the first couple days, but then after that, he was kind of like blue team, you know?
So I also want to ask you about the fit to pick challenge. You and Andy decided, let's jump off together. And later in the episode, you had some thoughts about that. What are your thoughts now looking back and reflecting on that choice?
So I think I was honestly, during the interview, I was obviously a little high on emotions. I was bawling my eyes out and stuff like that. So I was definitely high on emotions, but I went into the challenge not wanting to win. I did not want to win that challenge. I didn't really have anything to prove to myself, or at least so I thought, but I didn't want to win because I knew whoever won that challenge was going to have so much blood on their hands and have a huge target on their back. So and I honestly, I don't think I would have been able to win the challenge, period, because that was hard. But I did not go into it wanting to win. So I heard Andy like make a noise and I was like, are you okay? And then you saw what happened after that. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, no, dude. But,
so let's bring in the winner of that challenge. We have Mac, who I don't even know. I don't even know how.
Green
know how
team
you did
in
that.
The house.
Green.
Yeah,
green team. More green.
I love it.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Wow, we have three green team players in this room right now.
Wow.
Wow.
Hi, Mac. How are you doing? What was it like for you to watch the show?
Oh, watching the show back was so surreal because, like, when I was living in it, it didn't feel like a TV show, you know? Like, it's just a bunch of kids hanging out, just having fun, and there just happened to be cameras on us. But then seeing the whole production and all the camera angles and cool like special effects and music and stuff, it's like really crazy, honestly.
Mac, we were just talking to Skyly about kind of your win and then the drama of the partner picks. When you look back on that, is there any regret? Is there what do you think now that after years gone by?
Well, yeah, initially, obviously, I had some regrets on choosing the partners because my initial strategy was to give everyone sort of like a contrasting partner so they would have like, you know, some disagreements in order for them to like move on. But looking back on the show now, I think all of the partnerships I picked were honestly so perfect for each other. Like they all were not expecting these partners, so they had to overcome things. Like it was necessary for them to continue in the challenge, you know? They were all like especially some partners like Adrian and Presley and Huck and Sienna, like they just didn't want each other, but they realized that like, hey, you're not too bad. And they all grew. And I think that's so beautiful because our team Karma Law was growth and our karma in the game was affecting everyone's growth. So that was like really a highlighted moment looking back on the show.
I love that. I was about to mention your law of karma, but you went right to it. I think that it's perfect. Pretty cool of you to even the fact that you didn't win the game, look back and the growth of everybody else matters more than you winning the game.
Definitely. So,
go ahead.
So you guys, how about walk us through that next day? The partners have been chosen and the next day you guys go into this challenge where people can really kind of single you out. Mac, why don't you walk us through kind of like getting up that morning and then getting into the challenge?
Well, yeah. So immediately following picking the partners, on the show, it made it look like my intention was so malicious. Like I needed everyone to like just do so badly with their partners. But I thought everyone was a good contestant and every partner would have been a good choice, you know? So I didn't get how everyone was so like angry about it. But the day afterwards is when I really started noticing how people were feeling about their partnerships. And I was like, oh, crap, they're all out against me. And I just started observing different things like Huck, for example, like it didn't show it on camera too much, but he would literally bring people from each team like two by two and talk to them and try to get them on board to his strategy, which is essentially just get green home. So that was
really
yeah, like that wasn't shown, but that really happened. Like he was trying to like,
yeah,
manipulate everyone basically into agreeing or like following his lead, which is, wouldn't he just wanted to get us out? It was really emotional for us to watch it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Skyly, how come somebody you wanted as your partner? How did you feel about that?
Okay, so day one, Huckleberry, I call him that when I get like aggravated with him. So, but day one, he comes up to me and he's gone up to multiple people. I watched him do it. And he was like, hey, we should be in an alliance. And I was like, well, for one, I don't have a partner yet, and that's something I have to discuss with my partner. So until then, like, I can't make any decisions like that. And so, you know, me and Matt become partners, blah, blah, blah. Huckleberry's going around talking to everybody, every other team. I'm bawling my eyes out, packing my bag, ready to go to the cave. And this man's walking around trying to strategize and make everyone give Yellow the coin. And so I'm packing my bags by myself and Huck comes into the cabin and this wasn't shown, which I was shocked, but I was going off. But he was like, hey, how are you? And I said, honestly, Huck, I'm mad at you. I said, you've gone around and you've talked to every single team but green team. And I haven't even got a chance to share my opinions and fight. And but I texted him while watching the show and said, you're lucky I'm a forgiver.
So yeah, what are your thoughts looking back on that? I mean, the coin offering was quite emotional for you. And I remember being off to the side crying too, because it brought me back to Endurance Wanted to Stay so bad. But yeah, what was it like for you at the coin offering and looking back on that?
Yeah, well, so Michelle kept saying, if whoever gives them the coin, that means they want you back. And I took it more personally than I should have, I think. And actually, Aaron, you can see, like, barely you can see, but me and Aaron are sitting together on the steps when Michelle says, okay, it's time for the coin ceremony, blah, blah, blah. And Aaron had told me that everyone was going to give, he was pretty sure that everyone was giving yellow the coin. And yeah. I think I'm so grateful that he told me that, because without that, I would have been even more of a mess than I already was. Which I'm not a crier, so I don't know what was happening with me. I was just very emotional. But it was very tough, because every single person there I loved and I still love. And I'm a very people person. I love nice, good people. And so I loved everyone there because they're nice, good people. And so especially when like Andy and Skyla gave their coin to Yellow, it was very heartbreaking because I was really, really close with them too. And so was Mac. And it was just like,
yeah,
this game is real. And it was just so, just, I took it more personally than I should have, for sure. But also, I didn't want to leave because they were all my friends. It was like a big sleepover. Who wants to leave a sleepover?
Yeah.
And it was very heartbreaking. And I mean, I wish I wouldn't have cried like a big baby, but hey, makes for good TV.
Oh, no, never apologize about crying, girl. Never.
It just shows how bad you want it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Well, so I started off with a smile. I got up there and I was like, I'm going to push through. I'm going to stand with a smile. And then every coin that was given to Yellow, I just started crying more and more. And then right after, Matt gave me a hug. And that's when I full on started like, like making noise, and I was like, oh great, Kylie, come on.
Mac, you seem like such like you and Skyly both seem like very social people, and Mac, like, it seemed like you had a lot of like good friendships and relationships. Was there like a part of you that thought like your friendships and your like previous relationships before the teams were made was gonna kind of push through the strategic choice you made?
Yeah, I think that in the friendships that I made, they weren't game based. They were solely like just social, on a social level. And I think that was where I went wrong, because yeah, me and Skyly both agreed that like we didn't want to make alliances with Huck and these random people that we've only met for 20 hours, you know, like we didn't trust them enough to like want them on our side. And I think that was like kind of where like we didn't have anyone on our side, because we didn't have like any alliance or anything. But going into the coin offering, I think we should have taken more time to try to like just ask more people like, hey, are you going to give us your coin? Like, what have other people been telling you? But I think during that time, it was so limited, such a limited amount of time to communicate with all the teams before the offering, that we just didn't have enough. We didn't have the chance to like get people on our side and get our coins.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I actually have another special guest here. So joining this panel, we have from season 3 of Endurance Hawaii, we have Monroe from the Yellow Team. Hello, Monroe.
We stan.
Oh, he wow. Look
at, oh my you're, God, you're, I, you're I watched y'all's episode.
Hey. it's the green team. I just got back from the vet appointment, so sorry I'm late, you guys. My dog has Lyme disease, but we got antibiotics and she's on the road to recovery, so I'm sorry to be late, but I'm so excited to meet you guys.
Yeah,
I'm freaking out.
Did you guys watch Endurance?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yes,
I didn't watch it beforehand, that's why I was like, I didn't know what to expect on the show.
I watched all of y'all seasons of Endurance before I went on the show to kind of care. So I'm like fangirling.
Yo, were you guys ready for the right to stay? Had you guys already talked about right to stay? I know I'm coming in midway, Aaron, here.
Well, we didn't in this.
Yes, but not with the green team. So how did you feel about that right to stay challenge, actually? How was that competing in that?
Cold. It was
freezing cold.
Especially for me, because like I'm from the coast, and like that was like 6,000 feet elevation, and you don't really notice how much of like a difference the air is. Like, it's so much thinner up there.
Really?
Yeah. And it was so hard doing like the 25 foot swim, and then having to do all of this stuff, lift yourself on these platforms. Like, every element in that challenge really was a challenge. Like, it was super difficult.
How heavy were those things?
Once they were wet, they were like 20 pounds. Yeah. I feel bad for the girls because all of them were soaked already. At least the boys had dry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Also,
yeah, because it was kind of, they just absorbed the water, and then you have this big beam with water in it, and it's just very heavy, and the water's freezing. I fell in one time.
Yeah, we saw that.
I thought I wasn't going to be able to, I thought I wasn't going to be able to make it back onto the platform because of how I was like, oh, I'm going to die. This is my final breath. It's freezing. I didn't think I could make it back up there, but I did. I was just being a sissy, but.
Well, you're from Oklahoma. There's not oceans around there.
There's no, we got lakes and ponds. If you want to swim. but yeah, but we are used to our winters are cold and our summers are hot, but I just freezing water and I do not make it well. I don't like the cold. So I was not a fan of that.
That is an element you don't think about because there, you know, there's one thing about water challenges, but a lot of times with water challenges, the water is pretty fine to be in, especially when you're working like in the ocean and stuff. And so to think that like, not only do you not want to fall because you don't want to like lose the challenge, but you don't want to fall into freezing cold water. I feel like it gives you another like level of kind of, just endurance to want to push through because you're like, I don't want to go in the water. I don't want to go in that water.
That was my main motivation the whole time. I was like, I just can't get in this water again.
Yeah. And another thing about falling in was like the platforms that we had to climb up on were like not level with the water. They were like significantly raised above the water. So you had to have like a decent amount of upper body strength just to get yourself back up on the platform once you fell in. So I think that's why it was so hard for so many of us.
It looked like if someone was standing on one side of it too, it would even like tip up to make it even a higher sort of like hoist yourself out of the water. Right. That was just that was one of the few challenges this season that I watched and I actually wanted to do it. The rest of them looked way too hard. I'm like, I am cool not doing these. I'm cool watching these kids do it. But the Right to Stay one, I was like, I want to get in there and do that because there was something about it. It's like, I might get some noodles out in the pool and recreate it here.
I thought the Right to Stay challenge. Yeah, when the platform. I thought the Right to Stay challenge was more difficult than the Right to Pick challenge in the door frame.
Oh, really? Opinion.
I was winded for like 5 minutes after I finished the Right to Stay challenge.
Wow. And you're a dancer. I mean, you're balanced.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For a dancer to say they were winded, that must have been very tough.
Yeah.
So, and that's on the second...
I kind of disagree.
Oh, really?
Oh, counterpoint.
Yeah. I just disagree. I thought the doorframe challenge was a lot harder than... I honestly didn't mind the Right to Stay challenge. Like, the only thing that I really hated was how freezing cold the water was. But I thought it was... wasn't too bad, but the doorframe challenge, props to Mac, he's incredible. Yep. And like, oh my gosh, you're insane. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
During that challenge, Mac, you made it pretty clear that you wanted Skyly as a partner, and you even asked Eli, if I drop, will you give me Skyly? And we later found out in the show Eli wanted Skyly too.
He wasn't going to get it.
Yeah, so he wasn't giving up. So what was it about Skyly that made you want her as a partner, Mac?
Honestly, before I even entered the challenge, I didn't even have an idea about who I wanted yet. Like, it was still like floating around, but I didn't really think about partners too much. It was while I was up there and in the last two, I was like, dang, if I drop first, I at least want to get the one person that I want. So I was like, who would that be? And I was like, probably Skyly. So I was like, okay, Elijah, I drop. Will you give me her? Like, I didn't mind winning. I didn't really want to win. I just wanted my partner. So that's why I made that ultimatum.
What was it? Was it her personality, her performance in the first challenge? Like, what was it that made you want Skyly out of everyone else?
I think it was mostly her personality. Like, I feel like when we communicate with each other, she always gives me like a different perspective on things. Like, she never just like agrees. She's always like, okay, yes, but what about this? And I think that's a good trait to have in a partner.
Yeah.
Did you guys both want the color green or?
Oh, calm down over there, Green.
Why did you guys want green?
Skyly did not want green.
I'm sorry. I didn't think it was my color.
It looks
but after
it's your colors, Kylie.
I call them and say, okay. I'm a little skeptical on the green.
Little tidbit of behind the scenes, because Mac won that challenge and he was going to be picking his partner last, we did ask him, what color do you want? And then we told the other teams, you're not allowed to pick green.
I was wondering about that because it seemed like
there was like color for me was an important piece. Like I picked yellow because I wanted that color. I mean, that was a 15-year-old to me, but I was thinking, like, what if you wanted a color? You just won the challenge and you don't even get your colors. That's good to know that there was something worked out there on the side.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you choose green more off of the karma, the branch of karma growth, or because you just like love green and look so good in green? And green is just the best color.
I do love green. My room is green. It's like my favorite color, but also the law of growth. I just thought was so fitting for like me and how my karma would play out in the game. And I realized that more so even after watching it. So it's like everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. So.
And Mac, we asked Skyly earlier. So when you knew you wanted Skyly as a partner and you were thinking about what to, how to make the partners, did you consult with Skyly since she was going to be your partner and in fear of like what the other teams were going to do if you put partners together wrong?
Yeah, like when I had that time to talk to everyone and see like who they wanted, who they didn't want, I was talking to Skyly and Skyla both at the same time, and they both were like, yeah, we want you, Mac, like we would both be happy with you as a partner.
But I guess what I'm getting at is the fact that you didn't put the other teams together the way they wanted to be put, and that would affect you and your partner.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much it would until afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised at how, I guess I felt very clearly who I wanted my partner to be too after like 4 minutes on my season. So I get that you all had immediate strong reactions, but I didn't, you're right, Mac, I didn't see people responding so intensely and being upset, maybe isn't the right word, about their partner, because I thought maybe everyone would get matched and get down with the get down right away. And
right.
That was an interesting reaction by a lot of teams.
Who did everybody want, by the way? Because we didn't really get too much of that.
I can't even remember, to be honest. But I will say, I did choose a lot of people who they didn't want. Like Adrian, he said, the one person I don't want is Presley. And Presley said, the one person I don't want is Adrian. And I was like, well, might as well. And it was hard.
Sadie?
The producers loved you for that.
I know.
Sadie.
I bet they did. No, but there was some people too where they were like, who no one wanted them. Like no one came up and said, this is my first choice. So it's like, I couldn't give everyone their first choice because there was still going to be some people mad. So I thought the fairest way to do it was to give everyone their worst choice, you know?
Yeah.
I know what it's like not to be someone's first choice. So I get it.
Monroe, TBT.
No, respect, Mac. I got it. I mean, you got your first choice. So, hey, you don't know how it goes. But for the rest of us out here.
So also, Mac, I want to ask about Harrison and Ilya, because that was a last minute decision to change that partnership. And obviously, we all know how that affected the game. I mean, I don't know if that really was what pushed him over the edge to leave the game, but Harrison was definitely upset he didn't get Ilya. So what was your reaction to that? And, you know, what came out of it, Jack coming back?
Yeah, I think the reason why I had to make that final last minute decision is because like Harrison, yeah, he was going through a lot and I wanted to give him at least the partner that he wanted. But the reason why I switched, I was originally going to put Skyla with Elijah and Ilya with Harrison. And then I switched those because I was thinking, like, Harrison has been homesick since day one. And Ilya wants this so badly in the competition. I don't want Ilya to go home. Like, I thought that Harrison's mindset was, hey, let me get the weakest person that I believe, the weakest person, because, you know, she didn't perform in the first Right to Stay challenge. Like, she didn't prove herself or anything. So he was like, I want this person so it doesn't make me look bad that I'm going home. I think he was basically trying to use her as a ticket home without making it seem like he was homesick. And I didn't want that to happen to Ilya. I wanted to see her do well in the competition. And I wanted to give her a good partner, you know?
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective from you. Yeah. I will say, having done his interview that day, I really don't think that he did that, that he wanted Ilya because of that. But if that's your perspective, I'm glad that you wanted Ilya to do well in the competition.
Yeah. And also another part of the reasoning was I thought that Skyla and Elijah would just be such a strong partnership. So I had to mix it up just a little bit.
Yeah. Drama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much drama with that. So when you guys woke up that next morning and Harrison was gone, what did you guys think Skyla would just be eliminated? Like, what did you guys think was going to happen?
Well, I had seen some endurances beforehand, and one of the seasons, I think it was Pink Team or something like that, one of the girls got hurt and had to go to the hospital something.
Yeah, it was
the
brown team.
And the guy just continued.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just continued to play. So I thought she was just going to have to go on by herself.
Yeah, and I sent him home that same night.
Coming around the corner, and you're like,
I mean, he played on for about 12 hours.
Yeah.
So they both flew home together. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, I mean, that would have been crazy because most of the challenges you can't do with one person, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would have worked out.
I had no idea what was coming around the corner.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, is there a new person coming?
Yeah. We were shocked when we even found out that Harrison had left because I thought he was in like an interview for a really long time.
Yeah, me too. Like I noticed
I'm
him starting
shocked.
To... Wait, what was that?
Oh, we all knew he was sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say you knew that there was something going on with him? Did it occur to you in the day before that that was an option that he was considering? And looking back on it, do you think you guys could have rallied around him to make him feel more included? Or was this something that was beneath the surface that while you recognized he was maybe, you know, feeling a little homesick, you didn't know to the extent that where his head was at?
Yeah, I definitely like just being in the cabin with him. Like in the boys' cabin, I definitely noticed him being homesick. He expressed it to us. And I think me giving him the partner that he didn't want was kind of like just like the thing that pushed it over the edge. And I made sure to say like sorry to him, like off camera and everything. But I was not expecting him. Like I noticed him starting to distance himself from the cast. And I knew it was because he was a little bit homesick. But I thought he was going to come back. Like I thought he was just going to talk to a producer, get himself in the right headspace to come back. And I did not expect him to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after seeing him
and
win
people's
the first
emotions.
Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
What was that, Skyly?
Yeah, and people's emotions are, they handle them very differently. I cry publicly. Other people go and hide and cry by themselves. I don't like to cry publicly, but it happened anyway. I just thought him going to bed earlier than everyone else, and I knew he was sad and I knew he was homesick, but I was just going to let him handle his emotions however he wanted because I respect that people handle their emotions very differently. So I don't like to step in where I'm unwanted or anything like that. And so I felt like if I did go up and be like, oh, it's like, what's wrong? Like, I know some people don't like that. So I'm very cautious. And I just thought that maybe he needed some space. Mm-hmm. And yep. I did know he was extremely homesick, but I also saw him in the Right to Stay challenge. And so I was like, he's a fighter. Like, he passes.
Yeah.
He is fine. Like, he's going to stay because he won the first challenge of the whole entire show. And
he was flossing. I mean, he was really.
he was, he put himself out there and he did good. And everyone thought he was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I was shocked. I really was.
Even me, that's why I was so surprised when Skyla was mad at me afterwards, after she realized that Harrison went home. I was like, wait, why are you mad at me? I just gave you the partner who won the last challenge. Like, I didn't do you dirty on purpose. But I get that she was just so, like, frustrated and overwhelmed with her emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were her, I would have been more mad at Harrison.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, going through like what you guys went through, like an endurance or karma filming, I mean, things come up that you didn't even know you had in there. And it's just because it's such an unusual experience. And that's why it's so great that you guys are so close and such good friends, I feel like, afterwards, because you guys can really lean on each other as you're watching this, as you're seeing kind of the fallout of other people and fans watching it. I think it's really cool that you guys all do seem like all just good kids and good, just good people. So props to you.
Thank you.
There was one moment that stood out to me a lot, which was after you guys had gotten no coins, only the one from Michelle, and Skyly, you were crying in the cabin, and Max, like, I'm sorry I picked you for my partner, like, this is because of me, or something like that.
Yeah.
And Skyly's like, don't even say that. Like I basically saying, I still love you as my partner, and I don't regret the fact that we're partners. Like, do you feel that way looking back, even though maybe the partner selection did affect your game? Skyly?
Oh, shoot. Well, that was coincidental, Skyly.
Can you start back over to answer that question, Skyly, and unmute yourself? There you go.
Hi. So sorry. Indy called me. So what was the question? I'm so sorry.
Do you, like, there was the moment where you said, you know, don't worry about it, I forgive you, and I'm still glad we're partners. Like, looking back on the game, are you you're still glad Max, your partner, but like, yeah, tell me about that.
So I just, like, of course I knew him picking me, we'd have a huge target on our back. But me and Matt, like, we have a great connection. We're great friends. Like, we can talk everything out, and he hyped me up and, like, made me feel like I could do more than I thought I could. And so him saying that, I was like, dude, no, like, you literally have been so good for me, and, like, I feel so happy anytime I was around him. And I know it seems like that, like, if I wasn't put in that position, maybe I would last longer. Well, I don't really care about that. I went into the game and I just had fun. Yeah. And honestly, I wish I would have played more game, and Mac does too.
Yeah.
But it's just how it was. And I wouldn't change my experience for the world. Of course, if me and Mac could go all the way, like, I'm down for that. But I would want to be with Mac.
Right.
Any chance I get.
I agree. Like, I definitely have no regrets. But we could have, like, if I weren't to win the right to pick challenge, and we were still partners, we probably would have gone a lot further in the game, because we're a really strong team.
Yeah,
I agree. But I honestly feel like, Mac, like, if you would not have won that right to stay challenge, if Elijah would have won, you guys wouldn't have been partners.
Right.
It would have been a completely different experience for everybody, because you did somehow pair up just be everybody in a way that their growth was so much bigger than I think it would have been had they all gotten people they like.
Right, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So that, talking about, I know we're going to lose Mac here.
If y'all are talking to me, I cannot hear you.
Oh, no.
Oh, sure.
Oh, no. You can't hear us, Skyly?
Skyly,
maybe try
there?
Exiting and coming back.
Do you want to exit and come back in?
Skyly, what happened with Andrea's coin? We want to talk about that.
I really don't.
Yeah, for
everybody.
Mac, tell us about, like, so the challenge you guys played. We'll try to get Skyly to exit and come back in. Leave and then come back. Aaron, yeah. What was the name of that challenge? Hold on. We're gonna edit this out, guys.
Type on the screen.
She
probably can't even see us.
Okay, now she's reading it.
Okay.
It's like Aaron. Tilt, why don't you introduce the tilt? Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was a tilt challenge, and if you drop your partner in, oh wait, I went way ahead Oops, never mind, not Tilt. The one before where basically there was a bunch of tubes. And they had to transfer water back and forth. Yeah, yeah. And you could put water in any of the other team's tubes to take them out. So basically, this is a challenge where, you know, a lot of different people can team up and either go after the same team or do their own individual thing. So it was kind of interesting to see how this one played out, especially with the alliances that had been set up. I feel like this is a challenge that's really going to clearly show, you know, at the end of the day, who's loyal to whom, even within some of the alliances, like for instance, with, blue, gray, and red, how they both went after red before they even went after each other shows, hey, red is clearly, you know, not really in that gray, blue, red thing as much as they think they are. So, what was your thought process throughout that whole challenge, Mac?
Oh, I was definitely more nervous for that challenge than any other challenge. And one thing that I wish I could have done during that challenge was I wish I could have been on the other side, on the side where we were filling the tubes up. And I wish I could have just stood in front of my thing and like said, hey guys, stop. Like, are you guys leaders or followers? You guys are all listening to one person who wants to get us out. Like, do your own thing, like make it fair. Oh. Like, looking back, I totally wish I could have done that. Because they really all were being sheep.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, did you guys ever think about post-challenge somewhat exploiting the politics that were revealed and the alliances that were revealed to somehow align with other teams? Or was it kind of a everybody was on the same page to come after you and there was no breaking in?
Yeah, that was hard. Like, because it really was everyone was at least had some idea that green team was going to be out. But talking to some of the other teams, a lot of them were like, yeah, I really don't want to see you guys go. But at the same time, if I go against what everyone else is doing, I don't want to be like targeted for, you know, not fitting in with everyone. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people's mindsets were like, red team and maybe pink team. They were like, well, I don't want to be a target just because I went for you guys. So they weren't playing it on a personal level, but more of a game level to keep themselves under the radar.
We saw that. We'll rank them over the goals for that one. Don't worry.
Had the coin ceremony been private instead of public, do you think that some of those people who were more in the middle would have actually given you their coin instead?
Yeah, I think
I think there's a chance. But then again, I also think that there's also so much, still there's targets. And I feel like some of them were really afraid of what other people were going to think if we got a coin. And there's always people who were like, you know, say something, rumors get around and sometimes they're true. And so I think they still would have that fear going into the private area to give the coin. And so it really is, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I think that's a level of strategy that is so much bigger when you're dealing with teenagers of having to like show allegiance publicly. When you feel like the whole majority is against somebody, it's such a scary thing to do when you're younger, where you don't, to go against the majority versus in kind of like more adult competition shows, you see that happen more often.
Right.
I remember on endurance, that was such a scary thing. Like we sent Orange to the temple multiple times just because that's who everybody else wanted to go. You know, we didn't want to rock the boat. And, it's just kind of, I think, an unfortunate thing of like being in that age of having to kind of deal with those kind of social politics.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I wanted to bring up that pretty much none of the audience knows is that myself and Skylie going into the cave, we actually found the coin on the first try and it didn't make the cut. That was
what?
So insane. Oh, I would have loved that. That would have been amazing.
Right? Wouldn't that have been like, great?
Where was this? Actually, I would have lived for that moment. That would have been
one in 10 odds, and they had 6 in 10 odds. Well, of course, they're going to find the coin more than we are, but we beat the odds of karma. Like, we should have had the opportunity to come back since we found the coin in the first try.
Right. And that's actually a question that an audience member had, which, Aaron, you can put the question up.
Up here.
Baritone Bass asked, I would love to know more about the mechanics of the Cave of Karma. How many chambers were made? What happens in a tie? And I know you guys know what happens in a tie. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, so like we basically just had to reset everything. And from what I've heard, they didn't want to show the reset on camera because one reason may be there wasn't enough time in the episode. It might not look right, like just for the audience, or it might be like, oh, that's weird. Who reset it all, you know? So I think that they were still figuring out, like the production side was still figuring out how the cave was going to go once there was a tie. And I think after we experienced that, they changed the rules a little bit in the cave to make ties a different story than we had.
Well, what happened with yours was you guys went first because you had the fewer amount of coins. So when you found yours, 10% chance of finding your coin, you found it. So yellow team got to go because they hadn't gone yet. And so they also found theirs. And so after that, we had to reset the whole thing and do it again. And I will say that the tie was in an earlier cut. But, you know, with TV, you always want to keep the pace moving. And I didn't work on episode 2 in post-production, so I don't know the details. I worked on all the odd episodes. But I would think that it felt like we were spending a lot of time in the cave and it was getting a little slow watching the resets happen and stuff. So I don't really know for sure why that wasn't in the episode, but you can see at the very, very last episode, there's a compilation of some of the best moments. And there is a moment of you guys reacting to seeing your coin in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
That made me so sad, to be honest.
I'm sure I got
that.
Lily, question.
But,
why?
So I was kind of confused. So like later on in episodes, the cave would say, the first to find the 3 coins or the first to find the least amount of coins, and the least amount of coins was the one. And the reason we got to go first was so we had, because we had less of a chance. So they let us go first. So I would think that if we got the coin first, like that automatically means we would have won, but I don't know. I could just be confused.
I think the rule, I would have to look at the actual like pamphlet of real rules, but it's if somebody misses, as soon as someone misses, it's something like the as soon as someone misses. So you always get a chance. You always get a chance to hit, but like, let's say that you guys were going for 2 coins. Let's say you had 2 coins. If you had hit one, yellow hit one, you missed one. As soon as you miss one, then the next one to hit
is
2 wins.
Yeah.
So like, it's a little confusing, but it's.
Yeah. Cause I thought what would have happened was that, so green would have gone back to green, and since they found their 1 coin, yellow would smash 1 more pot. And if they didn't find the coin because green found theirs first, they would end up going back.
Well,
and yellow, I don't know. I mean, it does.
Like it'd be fair.
It's really hard. Yeah. That's a really tough thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that because there was only 1 coin, you can only ever find 1 coin. So we just had to reset it. And it just so happened that you guys didn't get it on the second try. So it's always the first to find whatever the fewest amount of coins is. So in your case, it was only 1. In some other cases, it was 3 or 4. So.
Yeah.
Well, Mac, I know you have to leave soon.
I don't have to leave anymore. Oh, I rescheduled my stuff. So I can say for as long as
I move some stuff around.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in the meantime, we are going to cut to our sponsors here, and then we will come back.
Sounds good.
Hello, everybody. This is future Aaron coming back in. So for the next 5 minutes after we come back, we're going to get into some spoiler talk. So if you would like to avoid that, just skip ahead about 5 minutes to around 54 minutes into the podcast, and we should be pretty much good from there on. But if you want to go ahead and you've watched all the seasons and want to relive everything with us, just keep on trucking and going ahead here. So let's go back. Didgeridoo noise here. And we're back. Wow, I love that we get to spend some more time with both of you. So,
I have a question.
Yes.
So you guys, like, looking back on like the whole experience, do you have a favorite moment from the entire Karma experience?
I think the first two nights there was no campfire. So when we came back for the last episode and got to have a campfire with everyone, that was a really fun moment. But another thing that we did pretty much every night was just stay up till as long as we could and just lay out on our blankets and watch the stars together. That was so much fun. And I think there was also a meteor shower while we were there in the, up in the mountains. So it was like, it couldn't have been more perfect timing.
Ooh.
So I'm going through some of the texts that we, as a group, were exchanging when we were watching the episode. Because we all binged this and we were texting each other. This is from Lily. My mom watched episode one and is so heartbroken about Skyly and Jack. She's watching two tonight. Can't wait.
Sorry, Lily. No, I think that was about Skyly and Sierra. Or I mean, Sierra and Jack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Your mom might have messed up, though.
Whoops.
Sorry, Lily's mom, you rule.
So I have one more question, too, is what was your guys' reaction to finding out that Purple planted this lie about Yellow and Green having an alliance?
I had no idea that that happened until I watched the show. So I was so in shock. I was like, wow, Jack is literally an evil mastermind. Like, I never expected that to come out of his mouth. Like, I thought he was genuine and honest. And Skyla, too, like, she just went along with it. But at the end of the day, I think that was very strategical. They knew they were lying. They admitted to them lying on the show. So, like, I can't be too mad at them. Like, at the end of the day, that's what led them to the finale and ended up winning. So I'm happy that they used our name and a lie to win, you know. How about you, Skyly? How do you feel?
I was mad watching the show. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, me
because
too.
Maybe if someone, you know, else would have gone in the cave with us, it would have been a different outcome. Like, you just never know. And yeah. I bet Yellow was furious because that's the reason they got sent. I really do believe that is the reason that they got sent. And I'm surprised. I really am just kind of like, you know, shocked at the whole outcome because that's not great karma, I don't feel like. So it's just crazy.
So I'm guessing you guys we're not fans of the new purple team. You are not fans.
It's hard to say. Like, I like both of them. I like Jack and I like Skyla both, but together as a team, they were so strong because they had so much contrast, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, it was interesting to me how they were the only team that I didn't pick, and they ended up winning.
True.
I thought about that, man.
That is a good point. Man. They foiled your plan, man.
I know.
I guess that's a big spoiler. Note that one, Aaron.
I'll put a thing. I'll put in the thing.
Spoiler alert.
I forget that people haven't watched it yet.
The large majority of this was spoiler free. So I'll do before break is like spoiler free. After break is not. So I'll do a thing in there. Before.
Skyly, it was obviously very heartbreaking to see Andy not give you the red team's coin.
Yeah.
Are you guys still friends? Like, how do you look back on that?
I've been taught to forgive people, and And I went into the game knowing it's just a game. It's not personal. Of course, I did take the coin ceremony personal. I wasn't mad at the people for giving Yellow Team the coin because I understood that the reason they did it was because, one, everyone else was doing it. And if they don't listen, that's a huge target on their back. And then they thought we were intimidating and they wanted us gone. Thank you. Compliment in disguise. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it was. Yeah.
I have to believe that if that challenge was not a political type challenge of like they could gang up on you, or if it was just like a physical or a puzzle challenge, you guys probably would have had a really good shot at winning. If you guys would have won that first challenge, who would you have sent to the cave?
Oh, ooh, good question.
Let's think about that. I don't even think we, going into that, like we knew, or we didn't know it was political, but once we knew all the game or the rules of the game, we were like, oh crap. Like, we already predicted everyone was going to come after us.
So,
but anyway,
okay. Yeah.
Who we would pick, I don't know. What do you think, Skyly? I think someone unexpected, because they were ganging up on the same teams over and over again because they claimed that they were a threat. But, like, what did we do to show that we were a threat besides be ourselves? That's what I didn't understand. So, I would have done something. I would have sent two teams into the cave who were actually doing things to put themselves in that position in the game. Like, I would have sent blue and gray, in my opinion, from the jump, because like neither of them were trustworthy, initially at least. What about you? What do you think, Skyly?
Oh, who have you? Who have you sent? Sorry, Skyly's having trouble listening, hearing Max. Okay. Microphone. So who would you have sent, Skyly, if you had won the first challenge? Max says he would have wanted to send blue and gray. Who would you have wanted to send?
I would most definitely send gray. I'm sorry, but Huck knew what he was doing. And I think he had a great game. I just think it didn't work out, you know? But I think he had a great game, and that I totally would have sent him, because me and Mac were like the only ones, and maybe Andy, who could see that he knew what he was doing and he was good at this game.
I tried to warn
and I
them.
Would totally send him
even before I left. I was like, I tried to talk to people, and I was like, guys, you're not listening, you're listening to Huck, and it's like gonna hurt you in the long run. Okay, but anyway, who else would you choose alongside Gray, Skyly?
Oh, who would you send besides Gray, Skyly?
Honestly, I think Purple.
Oh.
And the reason is because after watching, I watch reality shows and competitions like this, and usually when people come back in Endurance season 2, when people come back, they automatically have this target on their back. And so with Jack coming back, I was like, okay, he's an easy target. If I put him up, I have an excuse to say, oh, well, he was already gone. I just don't feel like I would have things to back up my reasoning behind it. And so it was like a safe bet. And so that's probably who my second choice would be.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And you know what? You know what? Sorry, I just realized Brown team from season 2 of Endurance came back and won. Jack came back.
Yeah, don't rub that in. I'm still. It's been like 17 years and it's still stings. It still stings. I'm so, like, literally, I was on Endurance longer ago than they. Like, they weren't even born when I was on Endurance. This is how old I am.
And it still hurts, okay?
It still hurts. You know.
This doesn't change, so learn to live with anger.
No, honestly, I feel like... honestly, I feel like what I got out of Endurance more than anything was learning to lose. Because knowing how to lose and being able to be okay with it over time, you know, become closer to okay with it over time is a really good quality to have. And it's hard. Losing is hard, especially when you want something so bad. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and I think
I definitely watched the show and I kind of just like it gives me lots of emotions because, of course, I love everyone who was a part of it, but also it like kind of breaks my heart at the same time just because I am such a huge competitor. I love to win. Losing, not my cup of tea, but it happened and I couldn't change that. And I wish I could have. I wish I would have done things differently and maybe that would have helped my outcome of the game. But it is definitely going to be hard to forget it. I've forgiven everyone, of course, but it's definitely going to be hard to forget.
Yeah. And yeah. I think my mom actually said that too. I think about Skylie because she's like from a smaller town. She's super competitive. She plays sports. She has like a music career. Like everything she does, like she strives to be the best at it. And that's why I admire her so much as a partner. But that was a big learning moment for both her and I, was just learning that we can't win everything. Like we may try our best. We may stay true to our integrity and our character, but it might not make us win at the end of the day. And it's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It definitely, so,
Go ahead, Keaton.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, going off what you said, Lily, and what Skylie and Max said, like, when you don't win, when you're a very competitive person, it just like forces you to kind of like look at how great all of the other things about the experience was and really appreciate that. Because as you said, Mac, your favorite moment had nothing to do with winning the challenge you won. It had to do just with spending time with your friends when you're off camera watching the stars at night. And I'm sure that moment's even more special because like you're not so worried about like all the wins or losses you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I also want to talk about you two. Just have you guys kept in contact since the show? I mean, where do you guys live? And where have you been able to see each other at all?
Well, we live on the opposite sides of America, so we haven't been able to like hang out or anything, but we definitely text back and forth and just make sure we're doing well. And also all of the Karma Kids, we have a group chat. We pretty much talk on there every day. So we haven't like, you know, our friendships haven't gone down or like diminished at all since the show ended.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Awesome.
What have you guys been up to? Like,
yeah, everyone keeps in touch with each other, but with like COVID and all that kind of stuff, it's hard to, you know, even see my family. So let alone people on the other side of the world or of the country. And so, yeah, I really would love to have like a little Karma reunion and have everyone hang out with each other and like go to like a Airbnb and just like chill and do Karma all over again without the gameplay and mm-hmm. just the fun and happiness. So that would be super, super cool.
What do you guys have anything coming up in your lives right now? Now that Karma's aired, like what's coming up for you guys?
Any music, Skylie?
Any music? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I always feel bad for like
plug, you know? Please.
Come on, plug that out.
Okay. Well, I actually a song of mine just came out. It's called "Here's to Never." It's about a boy breaking your heart and you're like, I ain't doing that again. Or really anyone breaking your heart and you're just like, no. And so there's a music video on my YouTube channel if you want to go
watch
it. I actually just wrote my first ever song, like start to finish. And so I really love it. And it's of course close to my heart because I just like wrote it. It's called Mars. And I hope to like record and release it really, really soon.
Exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, right. Make sure to listen to Skylie's music. She's honestly so good.
What's your YouTube channel? What's the name of your page or whatever the kids are calling it these days?
site. My YouTube channel is Skylie Thompson.
Okay.
It's Skylie Thompson. Yep.
Skylie Thompson.
Great.
And Mac, what about you? What's going on with your dancing and stuff?
Well, recently I just was invited to train with the San Francisco Ballet School. So that's super duper exciting.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm just focusing on that.
What does that really mean?
What was the question?
Like, what does that really mean? Like, how big is it? Like, Is it a big thing?
San Francisco Ballet School is super prestigious. Like, kids from literally every state in the country audition just for their summer program. And I received a scholarship to that. And then now I'm doing that. It's all virtual, of course, because of COVID. So before this, I had a Zoom ballet class. And during this month process of us training online, they're also recruiting people to join their school for the year-round program. So it's basically like ballet boarding school is what I'm doing.
Well, right also, on. That's cool. Yeah.
One thing that I noticed, or that we've all noticed after being on Karma, was that our like platforms are just growing so much so fast. And I think I really want to make an effort to use my platform to the best of my ability, especially during these times. So in the future, I'm starting to use my platform for more than just like silly random content and starting to like educate people on the Black Lives Matter movement and like American systems. And I really want, like, I'm super passionate in it. And
yes. Yes, you gotta.
I want to use my platform for that reason. Now
make
that
some change. That's right.
We need it.
I'm a politician at the ballet thing. It might be.
Yeah. Also, Max, it's like talking like, you know, being a young man, you know, who's a ballerina is such an incredible thing to like speak out about and, you know, share with the world. Because I feel like a lot of people, we don't get to see a lot of young men who are these incredible ballerinas and dancers, because like the athleticism is just amazing. No wonder you won that challenge. My God, I didn't realize you were a ballerina. You did ballet.
Yeah, definitely. I had some ballet friends watching the show and they were like, well, of course he won this challenge. We do conditioning and cardio pretty much every day.
What is it like for you to be a young man of color, a ballerina, like open about being a dancer on the show, on a national show? Like, what's it like for you? There's not a lot of people I've seen on TV like that.
Yeah, definitely growing up, I didn't really have too many like idols to look up to that wanted to do or that I'm doing that did what I am doing right now. But that just gave me more motivation to put that representation out there. I went into the show knowing I want to be myself 100%. I want to show other little kids that are similar to me that this is okay to just be yourself, be happy with it, not care what anyone thinks, and just do whatever you want to do because it's so important.
Awesome.
Amen, brother. And Skylie, are we going to get a little bit of the Mars? Like a little, can you give us a couple lyrics? A little
bit.
Sing us a verse, please.
Okay. I'll sing the little start of the chorus, I guess. I'll just do a cappella. So, here we go, I guess. I've packed my bags and I'm heading to Mars. If you ever miss me, just look up at the stars and I'll be smiling right back at you.
I can imagine on the radio. It's crazy.
Get
people
this
listen to the podcast.
What a voice.
All right. Do we
Good
have
job.
Any more questions Thank for you. The green team?
Any final words from you guys? Final things you want to share?
I just want to let everyone know that the experience was so amazing. I regret nothing. I'm happy with the outcome. And I think that all the teams that I picked were amazing.
You're standing by it.
Yep.
Kylie, any last words before we say goodbye?
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. If you haven't watched Karma, you probably got a lot of spoilers out of this podcast, but you should watch it. And thank you guys so much. It's so cool to be on this with
yes.
legends and amazing people. And thank you guys. It just means the world. Max, thank you for being the best
love
partner
you,
I could ever ask for. I love you.
You. So
we need to meet up soon.
I know.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you so much. That really does mean a lot.
Yeah, you guys were one of my favorite teams. Super entertaining. I love that Lily brought up that point right before you guys went to the cave. That was one of my most fondest moments of the show.
Yeah.
I love seeing team members come together, particularly in times of adversity when you should be like ready to tear each other's, you know, hair out, and seeing people come together in those moments is really special.
Yeah. I love green team.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having us and enjoying us.
Yes.
Yeah, we loved watching you guys, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Where can we follow you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You guys can follow me on my Instagram. It's at elijah.leemack.
Y'all got that, podcast listeners? All right.
And Skyly, where can we follow you? I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Skyly, where can we follow you?
Yeah.
You can follow me at Skyly Marie _ on like everything. And my YouTube, Skyly Thompson.
The girl's got a brand, okay?
Is it this as well? Is that the spelling of it?
Yes, that's right.
Yay.
Cool.
Good job.
Well, thank you guys so much. Stay in touch and good luck with everything. I can't wait to see where both of you go post karma. So karma's just the beginning for you two. That's
oh, great. Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yes, good luck with everything. Thank you so much again. And just loved hearing from you guys.
Thank you guys. It was so much fun being on here.
Yeah.
Yay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love them.
Who have you guys already talked to so far?
We talked to Sierra.
Okay.
Sierra and Green Team. Yeah. So
I keep her from smiling.
What a joy hearing from the Green Team and hearing their own growth from karma till now. So it's been really great to see how karma has really brought such cool new perspective to everybody involved.
Yeah. And I'm so impressed with how quickly they're able to reflect on things and have that perspective, because it's only been a year and they were the first team out and they're able to look back and see the positives and have no regrets. And I think that's so great and important. And like they're just so emotionally mature, I feel like. Gen Z, they're doing something right.
I was expecting to be more bitter. I thought they were going to come on here like, you wouldn't believe what happened back there, you guys. But no, they were totally, you know, good with it. That was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I totally hate TikTok, but man, Gen Z, you break my heart in the best way.
I hate TikTok. What's wrong with you?
I hate TikTok. I hate it.
Oh,
I don't have it. I feel like they're just stealing people's identities. I don't know. I feel like an old boomer right now. It's fine.
Any thoughts on episode 2 in general, now that you know, we talked with the Green Team, so we got a lot of their perspective. Any of the other teams from this episode that we wanted to highlight? You know, speaking of that Purple's decision, coming up with a lie, it was really fun seeing Jack come into his own here. You know, he's a Survivor fan. He's seen, you know, all these seasons. So using that knowledge and applying that to karma was really interesting to see play out, and really them trying to downplay themselves, because, you know, not a lot of people are going to see Purple as a threat because of, you know, their current position right now. It's going to be really interesting to see how Purple does going forward from here.
Yeah.
I thought that, I mean, and as much as a lot of people have been like, was that plane story real, that his plane broke down? It's like, that was legit. Like, Jack was, his flight was delayed 5 hours and he was able to come back. And I thought that watching Purple's story arc in this episode was so interesting, because Skyla was furious at the beginning, like so mad that she was crying, as she said, like because she didn't have a strong partner anymore. And so watching her go from that to him encouraging her and believing in the team, and her starting to believe, you know, we could be good at this. Like, I love seeing that.
I was so sad that Green Team went first, just because of my personal connection with Green Team. And I just love those two as well. But the one positive I really felt about this episode is just like three words: Jack is back. Mm-hmm. And Jack is the narrator we as an audience have wanted, have deserved, are so excited for. He's our little Cochran, and I can't wait to see him just kind of like strategize his way through this freaking game. Like, I'm so stoked. Lily, I don't know how much you can share of the behind the scenes getting Jack back. You told me that story and it's fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot that I don't know, but I know for sure that what happened was he was on a flight home. We all kind of thought he was home already, but turns out there was an exec on his flight and had texted JD. You'll never guess, like, Jack's on my flight. And so JD was like, what? Like, you're still here? Like, you're delayed? Oh my God. And he texted Jack's mom, like, or he called her right away. Like, there's a possibility that, like, we might need you to come back here. And so I just remember, them driving up the mountain in the morning, and we were all getting set up for Michelle. And, they got the shuttle up the mountain. Jack got out the car. He said bye to his mom. I was like, come with me. We walked down the mountain and we hid behind the tent. And I said, as soon as I give you the go, jump out. Okay. And he was like so shaken up and he was like so nervous and I don't want to make conversation because he was clearly like too nervous to do that. But he was so excited and it was so perfect. The timing, it was crazy. Like we could never have, planned that, better than the way it happened. It was nuts. So,
what airport was it at?
I actually don't know. I think that they were on a layover. They may have been on a layover in LA and like driven all the way back. For sure. We'll have
to
ask
Jack. If you
guys
ever been to LAX, it's terrible. Flights are delayed for like a week. So I'm sure they were on one of those flights sitting in the gangway.
Yeah. So it worked out well. But yeah, it was a bummer to see Harrison.
I know.
Decide not to move on, but you know, he'd been homesick for a few days. And also, I think it's easy to forget when you watch the show, you know, 45 minutes seems like such a quick amount of time, but it was the morning of day 4 that Harrison decided to leave the game. So it's not like they weren't there for a while. Like 4 days is a pretty darn long time, especially when, you know, this generation is used to being able to at least communicate with their family on the phone, if not in person. All the time. So it's a totally different situation.
And another player that I want to highlight here, I want to talk about Justin, who in this episode ate some bugs, but also, you know, he had discovered, I want to say in the first episode, that the medallions that they had have this little mechanism in the back. We're not really quite sure how this is going to work in future episodes, but the fact that, you know, Justin saw that and is able to figure that out so quickly and point that out to us this early, I think Justin's really primed to do very well.
Pretty smart.
Yeah.
Justin looks like a smart one. He's got
As long as Sienna doesn't get in his way, because he talks about Sienna. Like, literally, he was just like, I don't know. She's, like, pretty teased. She's just stunning. Like, I don't think I've ever heard a 14-year-old boy refer to a girl as stunning. Like,
yeah. It's like, it's natural. It's natural.
Yeah,
it's natural.
Oh, I just am so endeared to him because he is just smitten. He's just smitten.
And, you know, I've always felt like, you know, people liking other people has played a part in maybe some of the strategy of other endurance seasons. It's actually kind of interesting to see that kind of place at the forefront here with people just flat out saying like, yeah, you know, I have a good vibe from Sienna, you know, got something
but it
going
usually
on.
Doesn't end well.
It usually doesn't end well, no.
Yeah, I know. But I got a crush on you. I'm not giving you my coin, and I'm sending you to the cave.
I'm already.
Oh, you got to stay away from showmances. They are the worst.
I liked one of the parts when Andrea said that Huck was manipulative or something. It was like, yes. I can't remember what the comment was, but Huck said someone's manipulative. And she's like, yeah, well, you are too. And she kind of just clapped back for unprovoked. I like that about her. I was like, this is someone I'm going to be a fan of just for the way she called it how it was in that moment.
Yeah, back she's not afraid to call him out.
I have to give Lily a shout out for, I think, one of my favorite lines, maybe in the whole season. But it's a bite from Aaron, and from an interview I know you did with him, where he just kind of, I think, gets uncomfortable with the silence at the end of the interview or something. And he's just like, what is that? And then he says something, he says, it went from 100 to -0. Yeah. I'm sorry. -0 makes no sense. It went from 100 to -100. It's like, I was laughing. Even when my boyfriend and I rewatched it, we were just cracking up.
Yeah. So that moment, so Gray team had told Red, right, that we're not going to send you. And then in their meeting with Red team, they're like, oh, we might send you. Which Huck like made so many alliances he forgot who he was aligned with. Like, it's funny. But yeah, that moment Aaron's like, I was doing the interview with Aaron, and I loved interviewing Aaron because he gets a little bit uncomfortable with the silence at the end. So at the end, like if I stay silent for like 5 extra seconds, he'll like say something funny. And so like that was one of those moments where he's like, they told us they were thinking about sending us to the Cape.
Yeah,
what is that? You know?
And rightfully so. I mean, he was right to feel like this
for
is
sure.
Craziness.
We had trust with them, and they just smashed it. So, yeah. I mean, not that I understand Gray. They're trying to get rid of Green, but that maybe wasn't the best plan.
I think...
Yeah.
Sorry, go, Aaron.
Yeah, it's really interesting seeing the teams come together here. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this gray, blue, red relationship kind of plays out, especially since not only did gray and blue kind of leave red to go, you know, to not be in the top three with them. They also, gray told red that they might send them to the Cave of Karma. So I don't know what is going to happen with those three teams going forward, but it seems like the alliance is still holding up well. So I guess.
They did hold up the alliance. Yeah. But I don't know if the trust is there anymore.
No.
Yeah. I think this is one of the pitfalls of a lot of reality competition shows is playing too hard too early. And I think this is essentially kind of what sent Mac home. He played very hard and was trying to be very strategic very early rather than thinking about the long-term ramifications of the team making. And I think you look at Huck now, who is making all of these side alliances with everybody, forgetting and looking cocky and starting already to build some animosity from other people who are like, oh, you know what? Huck's going to like kind of bear, like dig his own grave, even though he's strong. And I think that it's such a weird balance you have to work out as a player in these games, because you can't play too hard too early, but you also can't get left behind. So it's like, who can figure that balance out the quickest are usually the people who are the most successful.
Mm-hmm. One team we didn't talk about, but was a central focus of this episode, was the yellow team. And what I'm curious about is they were very quickly kind of pushed in the outside with Green and a couple others. And what we kept hearing from the players was, well, you're so strong. You're such a strong team. And that is why, you know, you guys are unfortunately going to have to be on the chopping block first. I wonder how Ilya and Eli felt about that, because other than participating in that box challenge at this point, which was 8 participated and 8 didn't, so they just happened to be in there. So now they're being pegged as so strong, but it's not like they beat the other 8. It's just the other 8 didn't actually compete. I'm not exactly sure if I'm buying why these players are ostracizing yellow out of the gate. You know, the reason is they're so strong, but maybe that's a cover for something else.
It's a good point. I mean, I think that any reason that they can come up with to target someone else, they're going to use it. So the fact that Eli and Ilya both did so well in that box challenge was just the potential of them winning, the fear of them winning in the future was so great, even if it maybe wasn't as real as they thought it was, that they could use that against them. I mean, but I don't know. I will have to ask Eli and Ilya about that, whether they think it was a different reason.
Mm-hmm. As sad as I was to see Green Team go, I'm so happy Yellow is still in this, and we can continue to see these two individuals grow on this show and compete, because I think they're both just really awesome kids, and I'm just so excited to see, especially like a representation of Ilya, a Muslim woman, on a reality competition show like this. I've never seen that, and I mean, just like all of you guys, we've watched them all. And it's just so refreshing and so wonderful to see her play this game. And I just want to keep watching her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for her journey.
You can see, I felt like you could see the transformation so quickly in her, of like being so fearful of that challenge and then coming back from the cave. Like, she had a newfound confidence. I feel like you can feel her aura, you know.
She's back to blood now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. Well,
we're big in two.
I feel like we've hit everything.
I think so too.
Yeah. You know, we did get a bit of, I do want to talk about maybe Orange a little bit. I'm surprised that they didn't end up going to the Cave of Karma, because it really seemed, I mean, they were the second team to be targeted in this, right after Green. You know, you would think that, you know, Green and Orange would have been locks, but somehow they were able to avoid being targeted here.
Right. Well, we heard Adrian during their meeting with Gray say, if we go to the cave, we're going to lose. And I think that was his strategy to not get sent. But it worked, because Gray thought, well, we want to get rid of Green. And if we send Orange in, we're not going to get rid of Green. So, I was a little surprised too. But at that point, they didn't know what the cave was.
Yeah.
This is something that I also might want to ask Gray, or at least because I know that Skyly had watched Endurance prior to it. You know, did anybody think that the cave, I mean, maybe they didn't think it would be, you know, fire, water, wood, of course, but, you know, it wasn't going to be something that could be determined by how strong a team was, per se. Like, that wouldn't be the automatic reason why somebody would lose
at the
Cave of Karma. So, you know, sending a strong team to send out a team that you want, you know, I wonder how much that played into the choices there.
Maybe Adrian thought he had some bad karma coming his way. I mean, at that point, he had been having a rough go at it. Maybe
I mean,
karma coming my way if you send me up there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as Jack came back, Adrian knew he was in trouble, and so did Presley. So what did you guys think of that apology that Adrian made to Jack? Do you think it was just to try to save himself, or what?
I think there's something that could have been done there. I think the way that both of them went about it just made them feel like, you know, Adrian and Jack just felt like couldn't really trust the other person. So I don't know what could have been said to really allay any of those doubts there. But I do think that Presley had the right idea of, hey, you know, we do need to make things right with Purple now, because, mm-hmm. you know, as long as that conflict is there, we're always going to be a target of Purple's if they ever do win anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any way they could have smoothed it over. And I think that gets back to this idea of first impressions are the last impression. And so it seemed like Adrian had made up his mind very quickly based on the comment that Jack made, which, you know, Jack maybe was being a bit precocious for saying something like that right out of the gate. So fair for Adrian to develop that first impression of skepticism. But at that point, you know, I don't think that any sort of surface level bury the hatchet was going to change where they stood with each other.
Yeah, and I think like that's something that we see through Adrian's journey on this show is his kind of very surface level actions, and how those lead to not so great kind of, you know, his surface level and his kind of like very loud and very opinionated and, you know, doesn't really care what other people think, you know, he's going to share exactly what he thinks. We're going to see, and we did see in this episode, that's going to come back. Karma is going to come back and get you. And I have a feeling probably watching this show is super beneficial for him. Just learning about himself and seeing like, you know, what is a surface level apology versus what is a real apology, and how do you really, you know, really find a way to give a real apology even when you're feeling, when you're in a game situation or you don't feel super close to this person. And I think that's something you figure out as you grow up and as an adult and as you practice apologizing. And, you know, it's just this idea of you fail and you try again, you fail and you learn. And I think, I don't think this apology is going to, this initial apology to Jack is going to help at all, but
no, that may help, but that they tried to do, hats off to them for attempting it, but we got to make it move too much forward. But you know, at the same time, what we're thinking about, what Adrian has to apologize for, in my mind, it's really nothing. You know, Jack didn't get his free pass and the right to stay. You know, boo hoo. Neither did the other seven or eight. So it's like, was he really that, you know, in the wrong for maybe directing the conversation away from Jack to decide who gets that free pass? I don't know. But the other thing I really liked about this episode is the winner of the Cave of Karma challenge kind of held court in the huts. Kind of said, every team, you're going to come to me one by one, and we're going to depose you, and you're going to explain to me why I'm keeping you here. I was like, you know, endurance, we never pulled that, but I wish we did, because it would be, I mean, they were relishing it. They were relishing the victory to the nth degree.
Lily and I did the same thing when I remember when we were watching it. We're like, we never did this on endurance.
It was so smart.
No, it was super smart. I think that Gray kind of, I mean, they did it with Mac too. I think that they decided this is the best way for me to hear everyone. And then as soon as they did that with Mac, it felt like they wanted to continue that. So, I mean, I loved it because on endurance, sometimes you feel like you can't get your voice heard or it's awkward to pull a team away to talk to them or something. But like for Karma, they all got their voice heard. Mm-hmm. So, so I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always, I was going to day in court. You might not be able to change my mind, but I'll hear you out. That was an interesting 15 years later. Here's how teams are handling it. I think it was a step forward in terms of appropriate decorum to one another. So good job to them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And Gray fell for Purple's lie.
They ate that up.
They loved really it. They did. Were like, no way. That's a really strong alliance. And we, as the story producers, we didn't even know about that. Like, because sometimes things are happening so quickly, and so we a little bit found out about it later during interviews. We were like, oh shoot, like that's so smart. And I mean, we'll have to ask Gray if that's why they sent Yellow and not somebody else. But yeah, I mean, they bought it, and Purple was brilliant for that.
Oh my gosh, the bluff. We're going to bluff better than anybody else.
Yeah.
He's bluffing us, but we're going to bluff better than him. Like, I just love how confident Purple just continues to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
This was a fun episode, guys. I really liked, if this is, you know, any telling to what we're going to be getting into the rest of the season, good things are to come.
I am so excited to talk about the rest of the episodes with everybody, especially this next one coming up. So get prepared for that. How can everybody hear from you on social media or follow you if you would like that to happen?
Yeah, I'll go first. You can follow me on my personal Instagram at Tiger Lily Brown with two L's. Thank you. And also, I run the unofficial Karma Instagram, which is at Karma on HBO Max.
Yeah. Cool. You guys can follow me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey. Just my name.
You can follow me on Instagram at the Orange Double A or Twitter at AA Robertson 94. So that'll probably become one. I definitely will be changing one of these to the other. I'm going to figure that part out. But, Monroe, I know you don't really do.
You guys can send me a connection on LinkedIn anytime at Monroe Jordan Darrell. If anyone's in the market for tax services or just want more LinkedIn contacts, reach out.
Monroe, can we make you start an Instagram?
I feel like I don't know anything about it. I've never had it. And it's intimidating for someone who's never been on IG. If you're out there listening to this podcast and you are intimidated to join IG because you're not on IG, I'm with you. And I understand what you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to post anything. It's just a good way for people to find you.
Yeah.
And tell you how you changed their life.
Yeah, I want an IG journey on this podcast, and we'll see if by the end of the podcast, potentially going to start up an IG.
I'm excited for this journey.
Might be the biggest thing to come out of this podcast.
Yes, it really will be.
Let's focus on the kids, shall we?
All right. Well, this has been so fun, guys. And I can't wait to talk about episode 3, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, as always, it has been such a pleasure talking karma with you all. And for those of you out there, what goes around comes around. So hope you're all giving out good karma out there. Definitely want to support everybody during these times. And we shall see you later for episode 3. Bye now.
Bye.